This brings us back to the Rambam. What has the Rambam taught us thus far? That the Rambam has said that there are terms we find, Gan Eden, Olam Haba, La Sidlovo. The Rambam said we have all kinds of terms, Yumos HaMashiach, that you ask the average person, they don't know what they mean. And the Rambam said people have all kinds of thoughts about what these things mean. And a lot of what people say is based in the Midrashim and in the Gemara. And the Rambam has said that the average person, and not only the average person, even as people advance, they need to have external incentives to perform. People in life come with the attitude, what's in it for me, which is a normal, healthy attitude. Now, the Rambam began with introducing us to people's attitudes to what our sages say. And he said, Hakata Rishuna, the first group, and that's the majority of people, they take what our sages said literally, and even things that seem impossibilities, they say it must be that way, but he says they're foolish and they don't really understand, but they think that they're being pious by saying that everything that our sages said must be understood literally, and that's what's going to be, that's what it means, that's the way to understand it, and even though it doesn't seem to make sense logically, but they contend that that's the way a person should believe. The Katazu, this group, says the Rambam, we're holding the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Vav in Rav Kapach's translation of the Rambam's explanation on the Mishnah. Two lines above the number 37. The Katazu, this group, Hamiskena, I pity them, this poor group, Chachmanut al Sichlutam, it's a pity for their foolishness, if Hishem Romemut, Chachamim, Nefim Machshavtam, they think they're exalting our sages, Veinam el Mashpilim Otam betachlit HaShaflut, but in truth, they're disgracing our sages as much as could be disgraced. They don't notice it. V'chai Hashem, I swear, says the Rambam, Ke'akat azu ma'abdim adar ha-Torah. This group, we're holding two lines from the bottom, they're making the glory of the Torah lost. U'machshichim za'ara, they're darkening the Torah's light. V'osim Torah Hashem v'ipucham chuvan ba. They're making God's Torah the opposite of the true intent in the Torah. L'fi she'Hashem amar al chokhmat Torato, God said about the wisdom of His Torah, asher yishmun et kol ha'chukim ha'ele, when the nations hear the wise laws of the Torah, they say, wow, what a wise Torah you have. V'akat hazo, in this group, doshin mipshatei divrei chachamim zarim, asher, and this group, they take the literal understanding of what our sages said, asher yishmu ha'amim, if the nations hear what they're quoting in the name of our sages, we're holding the top of the second column, Yomru, so the nations will say, Rakam sachal v'naval agoya katan hazeh. Boy, what a foolish and derelict nation this small nation is. We're holding four lines from the top. V'arbe shosin ken adarshanim hamvinim lam, and many times the people who give fiery speeches to the nations, and they try to explain to the people what they don't understand themselves. So they're giving these fiery speeches, trying to get everyone riled up, and they speak about Gan Eden, the world to come. They themselves don't understand what they're talking about. So they get everyone riled up, believing things that they themselves don't know what they're talking about. Miten v'shatku, he says, if only they'd... Shatku literally means shut up. Kevan she'inam mevinim, being that they don't understand better, they don't talk. If only they'd be silent, that in itself would be wisdom for them, because what they're saying is foolishness for them. Or they should at least say, we don't know what our sages meant with these things, nor do we know how to explain it. The problem is they think they do understand, and they stand themselves up to explain to the people what they themselves understood, not what our sages really said. And they stand and they exalt before the people, they expound before the people the Gemaras and Brachos, which discuss a lot of people here wanting us to discuss the Gemara about how many demons are on a person's right and how many demons are on a person's left. And when a person wakes up in the morning, if he puts ashes around his bed, he'll see the footsteps of the demons. And what's going to be in the world to come? There are many Gemaras and Brachas about this. So you speak about that, you sound like you know what you're talking about. I could read the Gemara and translate it, but I don't understand it. Remember? You guys asked me what's going on there. I said, yeah, I could tell you what it says, but I don't know what it really means. So the Rambam says, yeah, if you start quoting those Gemaras, you sound like you know what you're talking about. Uperek Chelek, and the chapter in Masech Sanhedrin that discusses a person's portion in the world to come, which also has all kinds of midrashim about what's to be. Mezulatam, other things, Kipshuta, Milam, Mila. So they translate it literally word by word. So that, the Rambam says, is problematic. You think you're praising our sages when you make what everything they're saying seem foolish. You can't take what our sages said and understand it literally. Vakatashnia, second group, the way people approach our sages, what our sages have said in Midrashim and what they've said with regard to the world to come. Gamem rabim, there are also many people are this way. Vemotam shudi vechachamim o shamunu vevinu kipshato. There are the people who saw what our sages said, heard it, and understood it literally. Vechashvu shen kavanat chachamim bekach. They thought, well, if that's what our sages said, so it must be that's what they meant. So they scoffed at it. They said, gee, that's silly. And they disgraced it. They thought that's strange when really it's not strange. To them it was strange because they understood it literally. And they mock what our sages said frequently. They think they're smarter than our sages. They think they're of clearer thought. They think that our sages were fools. They lack knowledge. Foolish in understanding everything around them. They don't understand anything. The majority of people who go with this attitude are people who think they're doctors. And those that think they are astrologists, they think themselves to be wise, smart philosophers. He says, in truth, they're very distant from what a true philosopher is. He says, even though I said the first group is bad, they're even worse than the first group. They're more foolish. Them katarua, they're a group that's cursed. Sheitpatzuk lepe anashim ramei ma'ala, they allow themselves to speak forth against our sages who are really exalted. Shekvan nodach chokhmatam tzel chachamim, that the wise men around the world recognize the wisdom of our sages. Look at Pirkei Avos, right? All over, people admire Pirkei Avos. I sometimes get books for bathroom reading, right? So I like all kinds of books of quotes. Who knows what? Stuff like that. And the problem is that most of these books quote Pirkei Avos, Mishle. They recognize how smart it is.
So can you read in the bathroom?
Good question. That's a very, very good question. The problem with reading in the bathroom, at least, is that it'll bring you to think of what our sages said. You open it up and you see. And that you're not allowed to do in the bathroom. Ve'ilu hechshiru etatzmam b'madaim, and if only these people would really prepare themselves knowing science, till they'd learn how one can express oneself when it comes to godly things. Similar things, the science, the Rambam is saying there's a science as to how you write godly things. Our sages had a science. There was a method as to how you write if you want to disclose godly things, and that method is Medrash. So when we read Medrash very often, like we have Pirkei Rav Lezer last night, we learned the Midrash about Adam Arishon. And there we saw that the Torah describes a tree of life, and the Medrash says, yeah, it doesn't really mean there was a tree, it means there was a Torah. So the whole concept that we read in Bereishis about a tree of life doesn't mean a tree, we saw last night, right? It wasn't a tree, it was a concept, a philosophy, a way of life that God said Adam isn't prepared for after he ate from the forbidden fruit. So that's an example of something that's written in the Torah. The Torah expresses it one way, but really the concept is something else. Same thing is true with
spiritual,
right? Could be, but it doesn't seem that way. We discussed back in Bereishis that the whole story that the Torah tells us is probably a metaphor. Does it really mean there was Adam, there was a Chava, there was a serpent? Were these things literal? So we mentioned that the Malbim says this is all a mashal. Doesn't literally mean that's what happened. The same thing is true with our sages. They give us stories, and those stories really represent philosophies and concepts in the way God runs the world. They're not to be taken literally, and they broke it down to a science. But says the Rambam, if you don't know this science, so you read it, you understand it literally, and you say, gee, if our sages said there's an eclipse because the judges don't judge righteously, and I could forecast an eclipse 300 years, 1,000 years in advance, so what are you going to say? I could forecast when the judges will judge improperly? So you have to understand, what do our sages mean by saying that an eclipse is caused by improper judgment? And that's an example. What? Depends which kind of eclipse. Depends for whom. Yeah. What? Huh?
Yeah,
solar eclipse is not a bad sign for us. No. ואילו הכשירו את עצמם במדנאים עד שידעו איך כותבים תדרים מינים לאים וכיוצא בהם מנמדים להמון ולחכמים ויסגלו לעצמם את החלק המעשי של הפילוסופיה כי אז היו מבינים אם החכמים חכמים או לאו. If they'd only understand this part of philosophy, how one expresses oneself in godly matters, then they'd recognize whether our sages were really smart or not. והיו מובנים להם ענייני דבריהם. Then they would understand what our sages meant to say in these things. So this is the second group. First group takes what our sages said literally, think that they're pious by taking it literally. They'll fight for their literal understanding of our sages, even though if you analyze it logically, you'll recognize that it's foolish to take things literally. But they say, no, we're pious, so we take what our sages said, and even though it doesn't make sense, we'll go by it. That's the first group. The Rambam says that's foolish. The second group take what our sages say literally. They recognize that it doesn't fit logically, and so they disgrace our sages. They say, ah, they were all fools. V'akata shlishit, the third attitude that people have, v'hem chay Hashem me'atim me'od, and this group is very scarce, says the Rambam. Ad she'efshar li'kol lahem kat, you could barely call them a group, k'mo she'efshar lomar al Hashem ish min, like you say, the sun is a species. Well, how many suns do you have? So, yeah, very, very few suns in the heaven. והם האנשים שנתבררה אצלם גדולת החכמים וטוב תבונתם. This third group that's very scarce are people who recognize that our sages were great. They understand that our sages had deep understanding. ומה שנמצא בכלל דבריהם דברים אמרים לעניינים אמיתיים מאוד. They see among the things our sages said that they have very deep truths. ואף על פי שהם מעטים ומפוזרים בכמה מקומות חיבוריהם, הרי הם מראים על שלמותם והשגתם את האמת. And even though if you want to recognize the truths that our sages said, most of the deep truths that they said, they hid. You can't understand them unless you know how to understand what our sages said. But says the Rambam, if you read enough of what Chazal said, you'll find among what Chazal said, there are few and far between, but there are things that when you understand them simply, you could understand the great depths of knowledge that our sages had. וגם נתבר אצלם מניעת הנמנעות ומציאות מחויב המציאות, but these people also understand logic and what does make sense and doesn't make sense. וידעו שהם עליהם השלום לא דיברו דברי הוויים. They know that our sages didn't speak nonsense. ונתבר אצלם שיש בדבריהם פשט וסוד. And this third group, they recognize that what our sages discussed, there's the literal understanding, but really there's the secret understanding. וסכן מה שאמרו מדבריהם שהם בלתי אפשריים, אין דבריהם בכך אלא על דרך אחידה והמשל. And they understand that what our sages said that seems impossibilities, when our sages said something that seems like it's illogical, so then they know that our sages were speaking in a metaphoric sense. They were giving an allegory. וכך הוא דרך החכמים הגדולים. And this is the way of the great wise men. ולפיכך פתח ספרו גדול החכמים, and that's why the wisest of men, Shlomo HaMelech, begins by saying, להבין משל ומליצה דברי חכמים וחידותם. That he's coming to help people understand allegories, what they mean, what the literal understanding is, what are the words of our sages, and what are the חידה is like the puzzles, the I don't remember the translation of the word chida.
Riddle,
right. Like our sages sometimes speak in riddles. You have to figure out what did they mean. So Shlomo HaMelech begins Mishlei by saying, You learn my book, you'll begin understanding the depths of what are the riddles that are that the wise men say. וכבר ידוע אצל חכמי הלשון כחידה הם הדברים שעניינם בסודם. And it's known among those that are wise to understand the language that the word chida represents things that the idea is a secret. ולא בפשטם, and you can't take them literally. וכמו שאמר, חוד ענה לכם חידה. As Samson said, I'll give you a riddle. לפי שדברי כל בעלי החוכמה בדברים הנשגבים שהם התכלית, אינם אלא בדרך חידה ומשל. Because the way that the wise men speak, when they speak about things that are difficult to perceive, when they speak about wise things that they know are going to be difficult for people to understand, they speak in riddles and allegories. ומדוע נתפלא על שחיברו את החוכמה בדרך משל? Why would it stun us that our sages compiled their wise things using allegories, ודמותם בדברים שפלים המוניים, and they used comparisons to things that are commonplace? ואינך רואה חכם מכל אדם, עשה כן ברוח הקודש. You see that the wisest of men did this when he had Ruach HaKodesh. Klomar, Shlomo. We see that King Solomon, Bimishlei, and Proverbs. What's Proverbs? Proverbs, yeah? He's going to give you wise things, and he says, how am I going to express it? With Proverbs. So you see that when a wise man wants to express wise things, he uses Proverbs. Bashir HaShirim, you have the Song of Songs. Well, that's one big proverb. Umiktzat Kohelet, and a good part of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, is also Proverbs and allegories. Why should we find it strange to explain what our sages said and take them out of their literal meaning? So that it'll match what's common knowledge. Umatim la'emet, so it should match, it should fit with the truth, Uruchit ve'akodesh, and to the holy writings. V'arehem atzma mevarim psukei ha'ktuvim. Our sages themselves, when they explain the words of the Torah, of Tanakh, motzim tam mipshutam, they say sometimes don't understand this literally. It says, if a woman does something to shame a man, cut off her hand. Don't cut off her hand, doesn't mean literally, it means fine her, it means make her pay. The Torah says cut off her hand. Yeah, but the Torah didn't mean cut off her hand. The Torah says an eye for an eye. Yeah, but the Torah didn't mean an eye for an eye. We never take out an eye for an eye. We say it means that you're supposed to pay the value of an eye for an eye. So our sages said that things that are written in the Torah, don't understand them literally. So by the same token, says the Rambam, it shouldn't seem strange to us that we also shouldn't take what our sages said literally. Sometimes our sages say that what the Torah says is an allegory, and that's the truth that the Torah meant an allegory. The Pasuk describes in Shmuel that one of King David's great warriors, he killed the two great lions of the Moabites. Kulomashal, our sages say it doesn't literally mean he killed two lions. The Pasuk describes, on a snowy day, he went into a pit and he killed the lion in the pit. He was stuck in a den with the pit. He went into the den and on a snowy day he killed the lion. So our sages say it doesn't mean he killed the lion, doesn't mean in the pit. The whole pasuk is an allegory. It's discussing that he was able to conquer a tremendous portion of the Torah on a very short day, like a wintry day when the daylight hours are very short. He was able to review all of the book of Ayikra, which describes all of the korbanos, which is very difficult to learn, and he was able to do it on a short wintry day. He would be able to review all of that amount of Torah. So why is that a lie? Okay, so the Gemara discusses why that's a lie. He destroyed the two lions. What does it mean, the two lions? The Beis Hamikdash is called a lion. So it's referring to King David, who laid the foundations for the two lions, so to speak, the two Beit Hamikdash. So you have a pasuk that seems to be a very simple explanation, describing a great warrior. Our sages say, no, it's not talking about that. It's all an allegory. וכן מה שנאמר, הוא יקע את הארי בתוך הבור ביום השלג, משל. The prophet describes that King David was in the middle of a war and he got very thirsty and he said, who's going to bring me water? Whoever brings me water, I'll give him great reward. And then his great warriors that night, without telling him, they snuck into the Philistine camp and they drew water for King David and they brought it back. And he said, what, you risked your life to bring me water because I was thirsty? I can't drink this water. I'm not willing to drink water that you guys had to risk your life for. He libated it in honor of God. So the Gemara, he poured it. He said, I'm doing this a special pouring in honor of God as a sacrifice. So the Gemara says, what's that story talking about? Doesn't mean water. He wasn't thirsty for water. He was in the middle of fighting the Philistines, and the Philistines were hiding among the Jewish crops. And he wanted to know if he's allowed to burn those crops, which didn't monetarily belong to him, in order to make the war easier on him and his men. Is he entitled to take that money? Meaning it's not his, even though he's king, but is he allowed to burn down those crops to make the war easier? So Torah is called water, and when it means he was thirsty for water, it means he was thirsty. He needed to know this halacha, and he couldn't know. So these great warriors, they snuck through the Philistine camp to make it to the high court, to ask the high court, what do we do? Are we allowed to destroy these crops, or are we not allowed to destroy these crops? You should know, by the way, the halacha is you're not allowed to damage someone, even if you'll pay them. The person can't say, I'll damage you and I'll pay you. First halacha in the laws of damages, it's forbidden to damage. You can't damage a fellow Jew. You're not allowed to damage, even if you'll pay. So David wanted, no, my lad, do it. So they snuck through the camp. They got to the high court. The high court said, King David, you could do it. So King David got this ruling, and he said, wait a second, you guys risked your life for this halacha. I'm not going to quote this halacha in the Beis Medrash in your name. This halacha is going to be quoted. You should have the honor that's quoted in your name. You fought for it, but you shouldn't have risked your life this way. So now we're going to quote this halacha as a plain halacha. This is the halacha, without quoting it in the name of anyone. So you have a pasuk that seems to describe a simple story. And our sages say that's not what happened there. We have tradition. That's not what happened. It's all a mashal. It's an allegory. So the Rambam saying, here you have examples of stories that you could understand literally, and yet our sages said, don't understand it literally. V'chen sefer Yom, and so to the book of Job, kulo amar echad mehem mashalu. One opinion in the Gemara that the whole book of Job is a mashal. Never happened. And the Gemara doesn't expand and tell us, well, what's the point of this mashal? Why is the whole book of Job written if it's all an allegory? What's it coming to tell us? So too the prophecy of Ezekiel about the dead that come back to life. One of the opinion in the Gemara is that it's all an allegory. It didn't really happen that the dead came back to life. And many times like this. So the Rambam says this third group, they understand that the words of our sages aren't to be taken literally. And we're in the middle of understanding what this third group says. Should we continue another 2 minutes? We'll finish the third group. Koto, Shabbat Shalom. Should we continue another 2 minutes?
Please just say, I don't know if I can ask the question because I would also have to be right.
We still got
to
do halacha today, yeah.
But anyway, I don't know if you can answer it now. I'm sure it's bigger. This, what he's saying here, is very big ramifications in how we view Tanakh. How far? I know that the Rambam was he was David, and mostly, for example, he doesn't believe that there were any way to talk about angels, that there were not angels at all.
The Rambam says there were angels, but that angels don't take physical form.
They don't take physical form, yeah, they wouldn't. Or that the places where it says that there was somebody had a prophecy that was never a dream, it was some kind of, let's say,
vision.
It was some kind of vision. So he always, from what I've understood, his path was much more, you see, he would see them. Something that looked as supernatural, you would say it in a more logical, physical kind of way. That was.
Let's do two
how
things.
How far do we really go with that? Because it's dangerous to, isn't it dangerous to, everything that you see to see it as an allegory? What do you saw?
So that we will have to discuss. I want to finish what the Rambam has to say about it, and then we'll expand on it. And specifically about Malachim, so it happens to be that the major machlokas Ramban about Malachim is in next week's parsha. So next week in Midshem we'll have time to discuss that also, that specifically. But the general approach that the Rambam is developing here, we'll have to expand on when we finish hearing what the Rambam has to say. So till here we've gotten, and from here we will Midshem continue next week. Now let's go over to